Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th hour, First Baptist Sabbatarian Congregation, known as the 12th hour. In the Liberty Hill, Texas, today is August the 10th, 2014, or it is 8/15/2018. We will start our first service today with a song, "And Paolo, the Dwelling in Beulah Land." Far away, the noise has stopped. Kingdom of the David. We're still continuing on here. Time of Greetings, Volume 2, Number 11. And we're looking at a prayer thought taken from Christ's Object Lessons, page 46. He that received the seed into the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when the tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. For the seed sown upon the stony ground finds little depth of the soil. For the plant springs up quickly, but the root cannot penetrate the rock to find nutrients to sustain its growth, and it soon perishes. Many who make a profession of religion are stony ground hearers. Like the rock underlying the layer of the earth, the selfishness of the natural heart underlies the soil of their good desires and aspirations. For the love of self is not subdued, they have not seen the exceeding sinfulness of sin, and the heart has not been humbled under a sense of its guilt. For this class may be easily convinced and appeared to bring converts, but they have only a superficial religion. There is a class of people who are very susceptible unto the present truth, but who, just as soon as the persecution, reproach, inconvenience, and trials arise, immediately recant their position, for the truth has no root in such, and soon withers away from their minds and hearts. Let us now kneel and pray for the depth of the soil in our hearts, that we may hold fast our faith, our convictions, under any circumstances. Very good admonition. Let's now go to, for a second part of our prayer thought, let us go to Matthew 13 and read about this kingdom of heaven, which is the kingdom of David, the everlasting kingdom of David. This is part of our series. So whenever we read anything here in Matthew 13 or anywhere where it says the kingdom of heaven, we're talking about the kingdom of heaven here on earth that is set up here in this 12th parabolic hour with the everlasting kingdom of David. Is one and the same. Kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of David are one and the same. For Yahshua was coronated on the throne of King David in heaven after his resurrection when he went back to heaven at the end of 40 days. And he's come back now to receive this kingdom that he was coronated for in heaven. And he was coronated on the throne of David in heaven. Keep that in mind. And you have the prophecy of Ezekiel. And then you have the prophecy of Ezekiel talking about the Son of Man. I believe it's Ezekiel 1 and 26. Says when he comes back upon that throne as a traveling throne. I believe it's Ezekiel 1 and 26. It says, and above the firmament that was over their heads it was the likeness of a throne as the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. Well, that man above upon it would be Yahshua. He's coming back. Yeah. On that throne that he was coronated on when he went to heaven 2,000 years ago. And that's the throne of David, the everlasting, that's the reason why it went to heaven. That's the reason why Yahshua is coronated in heaven. It's the everlasting kingdom of heaven in, on earth, represented by the everlasting kingdom in heaven. They're one the same. Okay, it says, the same day, Yahshua went out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in the parable, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Matthew 13, verse 4 now. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of the earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them, but others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of the heaven, but unto them it is not given. So when you think about it, when you go to these here churches that's in your neighborhood and you're unfamiliar with them, you soon learn that the mysteries of Yahweh is not revealed unto them at all, the mysteries of salvation. And so it don't take long for you to find out that they're in another world. in this kingdom of heaven world. They're in a make-believe kingdom of heaven world. Okay? Verse 12 of Matthew 13. For whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even away even that he hath. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they see and see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And then is fulfilled the prophecy of the Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom, what kingdom is this? The everlasting kingdom of the David, when it set up here in the 12th hour, which it has already been, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. Okay, now we've already witnessed this with someone that has been with us, came with us here at the Liberty Hill, our elder. I call him our number first elder. Okay. He heard the word of the kingdom, but he didn't understand it. He sat right here and told me, he said, I don't understand. I understand, brothers, but I don't understand you. Okay, that's where you belong then. You belong to the one with the ones you understand. Then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. So, Alan allowed a lot of this truth to be sown in his heart, but because he didn't understand it, didn't cause himself to understand it. And then the old wicked one come and snatched it away from him. Okay, verse 20. But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with the joy receiveth it. And I know that I understand what I read, because the Holy Spirit is here to attend me to understand it. Yeah, we pray for understanding. We pray for wisdom and knowledge to discern right for right. And so from message to message, we have new light breaking and opening up, and it keeps us nourished step by step. And as long as we have this motto, continuing this line of thinking, handling the word of Yahweh as he instructs us to, we shouldn't have any fear then of not understanding. I'd hate to preach something for an hour here and not understand what I'm preaching. That would be devastating. Matter of fact, I wouldn't even preach on anything that I didn't understand. In Matthew 13:21, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also received seed among the thorns, as he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of the riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some and hundredfold, some 60 and some 30. Mark 4:20. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, for the kingdom of the heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it perished? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them, that both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say unto the reapers, I gather ye together first the tares and bind them in the bones, to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Okay, so the wicked and are destroyed first when you start the harvest. So the world is worried about the wicked out to destroy everything on the earth, and they seem powerless to resist Obama and Comey that's leading this parade of evildoers and destroyers. According to the parable, Yahweh's kingdom comes forth and organizes against them and destroys them. Okay, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, For the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. And there another parable spake he unto them, For the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Yahshua unto the multitude in the parable, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in the parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. So now we are uttering these parables right now. And these are things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. I mean, how many would even stop and start to think that when you read like verse 44, it says, Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field. But the kingdom of David, this everlasting kingdom of David, of Daniel 2:44, where it says, In the days of these kings shall the Elohim set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and it shall not be left unto other people, but it shall stand forever. Okay, so now Yahweh has put me in charge of the mysteries of this kingdom to unfold them. And I went and visited a Methodist church this Sunday morning. And you know, they didn't have a clue. They didn't have a clue, and they didn't inquire as to who I was. And I didn't let out any secrets. Invite them to come in here or see. I just went on a fact-finding mission to see what the Spirit was like out there in that Gentile world. Okay. So as we continue to read now Matthew 13:36, it says, Then Yahshua sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. For the enemy that sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. For the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend in them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth in, as the sun in the everlasting kingdom of the David of their fathers. Okay, so what is the kingdom of our father? Our father David. He was the one that Yahweh made this everlasting covenant with. And let's go read it. And in Luke 1:32, it says, he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Yahweh Elohim shall give unto him, his son, the throne of his father David. Now, let's go back and read this parable again. Here in Matthew 13:43. Then shall the kingdom shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their father. Whose father? David our father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Okay, folks, this is new breaking light. Verse 44. Again, the kingdom of the heaven, which is the everlasting kingdom of David, is like unto treasure hid in the field, and the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one, a pearl of a great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. For the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of the fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of the teeth. Yahshua saith unto them, have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Master. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of the heaven, which is this kingdom of David that sit up here in this 12th hour, is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. But we just brought something new out of Luke 1:32 and Matthew 1:43. Put the two of them together, and you have this, your father mentioned in Matthew 1:13:43. You have that father mentioned there is this father of David. He's our father. And it came to pass that when Yahshua had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Yahshua said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Okay, end of Matthew 13 and our prayer thought. What are we learning? When we see this here kingdom of heaven, and thus we're automatically looking at this physical, earthly kingdom set up here, everlasting kingdom set up here in these last days, which is called the everlasting kingdom of David. And Yahshua is taking his place upon this throne of David, and antitypical David has come forth. And he's taken his place also upon the throne of David. It will turn out that way. It is established that way, and it will turn out that way. Now, we're going to pull up a few scriptures here in the strong concordance with the kingdom of heaven. Now let's go and read Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. and say, I say and repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, who was saying this? This was this, not John the Baptist. Let's read it in verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay, so what kingdom was it? The kingdom of David. Okay. So now, let's look at Matthew 4:17. From that time, Yahshua began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of the heaven is at hand. Okay, now when was this time? It says in Matthew 4:15, it says, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, for the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and unto them which sat in the region and shadow of the death, light is sprung up. From that time Yahshua began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So what was John the Baptist preaching to the Jews? His brethren, tell them, repent, the kingdom of Yahweh is at hand. Or the kingdom of David, that's what he's really saying, the kingdom of David is at hand. And then Yahshua comes along, and after he's anointed, and spends 40 years fasting, 40 days fasting in the wilderness, he comes out of his fasting, and he goes into his ministry, preaching, and he says, from that time, Yahshua began to preach, and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay. Now, in Matthew 5:3, it says, blessed are the poor in the spirit, for theirs is with the kingdom of the heaven, which is the kingdom of the David. Matthew 5:10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is with the kingdom of the heaven. Matthew 5:19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of the heaven. But whosoever shall teach and shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of the heaven. Okay, Matthew 5:20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of the heaven. Matthew 7:21. But everyone that saith unto me, Master, Master, shall enter into the kingdom of the heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now let's read that again. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Master, Master, shall enter into the kingdom of the heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in the heaven. Matthew 8:11. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of the heaven. Okay. So what is that talking about? Let's read that again with a little bit more emphasis on it. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of the heaven. Verse 12. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What is this all about, folks? I don't ever hear the preachers in any church preaching about this coming of the people from the east and the west. They're coming from the east and the west to sit down to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that has been resurrected to sit here in the everlasting kingdom of the David, which is the same thing as the kingdom of heaven here on earth. But those that have been occupying the kingdom up to the time that these others are resurrected and come to their kingdom, they have to be cast out and thrust out, because they're occupying the kingdom and charter, but they're not purified. They didn't come through the first judgment that would qualify them then to meet Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and to sit down with them. Only those that come through the first judgment can do this. And you start the judgment of the living, 2002. The house of David, which is this everlasting kingdom of heaven, is set up with the house of David. So the everlasting kingdom of heaven was set up in 2002, starting at the Passover and convocation, Gilead Center. Okay, now let us continue on by reading some more scriptures. It says in Matthew 10:7. He says, "And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Matthew 11:11. "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of the woman, there hath not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of the heaven is greater than he." Matthew 11:12. "And from the days of the John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by the force." Matthew 13:11. "He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of the heaven, but unto them it is not given." Verse 24. "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of the heaven," in other words, the everlasting kingdom of the David, "is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field." Okay. Matthew 13:31. "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field." Okay. Matthew 13:33. "Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of the heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened." Matthew 13:44. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, of which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." Matthew 13:45. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls." Matthew 13:47. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea, and gathered of every kind." Matthew 13:52. "Then said he unto them, therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old." Matthew 16:19. "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of the heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on the earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on the earth shall be loosed in heaven." Matthew 18:1. "At the same time came the disciples unto Yeshua, saying, who is the greatest in the everlasting kingdom of the heaven?" In other words, he's the greatest in the kingdom of David. Matthew 18:3. "And said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Verse 4. "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of the heaven. Therefore is the kingdom of the heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servant." Matthew 19:14. "Yeshua said, suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is of the kingdom of the heaven." Matthew 19:23. "Then said Yeshua unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of the heaven. That's the 20th verse 1. For the kingdom of the heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. Matthew 22:2. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son. Matthew 23:13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Matthew 25:1. Then shall the kingdom of the heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Matthew 25:14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. 2 Chronicles chapter 2 verse 12. Huram said, moreover, blessed be the Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, that made the heaven and the earth, who hath given unto David the king a wise son, endued with the prudence and understanding, that might build an house for the Yahweh and an house for his kingdom. That's the temple. That's the church. Daniel 2:37. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, as for the Elohim of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength and glory. So, look like Yahweh gave Nebuchadnezzar, this Babylonian king, said he's given you a kingdom. And it's represented by this head of gold on his image, and this represents Babylon. So that is a kingdom. And that kingdom has been competing with the kingdom of David ever since it came into existence. Daniel 2:44. And in the days of these kings shall the Elohim of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left unto other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So what kingdom is that? One and only, the everlasting kingdom of the David. Okay. In Daniel 4:25, that they shall drive thee from a man, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. And 7 a time shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it unto whomsoever he will. Okay, so the kingdom of men is the kingdom of David, the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And then these other kingdoms of Babylon, whoever he sets up to rule in any kingdom of Babylon, there's many kingdoms of Babylon, Yahweh sets him up also. He set Obama up on the throne of Babylon. He set Obama up. And he's definitely going to have a coming down one day. He set him up, he'll set him down. Daniel 4:34. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto the heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. So, how many kingdoms have we had since 1844 of the Adventists? How many dominions? How many dominions? We've had one dominion, only one dominion, and three steps of the genuine movement in this one dominion, and it was the seventh dominion. The everlasting kingdom of heaven occupies the eighth dominion. So, the Yahweh has kingdom, has ruled in every dominion since Adam. Adam occupied the first dominion. All right, Daniel 5:21. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like a beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with the grass like the oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High Elohim ruled in the kingdom of the men, and that he appointed over it whosoever he will. Daniel 7:27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given unto the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Daniel 11:4. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken, and shall be divided toward the four winds of the heaven, and not to his posterity, nor according unto his dominion, which he rule, for his kingdom shall be plucked up, even for others beside those. Revelation 12:10. And I heard a loud voice saying in the heaven, now is come the salvation and strength and the kingdom of our Yahweh and the power of his Messiah, his son. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuse him before our Elohim day and night. So what is this called? Saying the voice in heaven, now it has come salvation. When is it salvation come? In the 12th parabolic hour. When did it start? It started at the Passover 2002. Now has come salvation. And strength and the kingdom of Yahweh, the kingdom of heaven here on earth, and the power of his Christ, Messiah, his son. Okay, now this kingdom is endowed with power. Okay, it's imbued with power. Okay, now let's go read a little bit from John 12:31. Let's read something here that maybe coincides with what we just read about this here. Now as the salvation come, it says in John 12:31, it says that now is the judgment of this world come. See, in Revelation 12:10, it says now I heard a voice heaven saying in heaven, now is come salvation. Okay, when Yahshua resurrected from the grave, he says, let's just read verse 30. Yahshua answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast down. Okay. So now here in the 12th hour, right now, he said salvation is and strength and the kingdom of Elohim has come, and the power of his Messiah, his son. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Alright, when Yahshua came to take the reins in his own hands at Kermit, Texas, 2002 at the Passover, what happened? There was a man there that he had placed in charge 32 years earlier of his candlestick, Laodicea, the angel of the seventh candlestick, Brother Johnson. He had placed him in charge. Brother Johnson, because he got tired of waiting so long for the kingdom to come and materialize, which he was in the kingdom, he set up the everlasting kingdom of David in our time, yet he didn't understand how it worked, and so he got weary of waiting, and he began to eat and drink and drink with the drunkards, with his brethren. Eat and drink with the drunken, and he began to persecute his brother, Jacob. And so, when Yahshua came and took the reins in his own hand, he said, now the kingdom now has come salvation. Well, Brother Johnson taught salvation. He said, we have the sanctuary in full operation. We have the salvation. We're teaching salvation. We're following salvation. No, he wasn't. So now when it says here in John 12:31, he says, now is the judgment of this world. When did that happen? That started at the Passover 2002. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, would draw men unto me. Well, who is the prince of this world? Satan. Okay, then who is this? Who is this one that is talking about that was the man of sin, for instance? We'll go to the Second Thessalonians, and we'll read about the uncovering of this man of sin has to first be discovered, and the man of sin be revealed. So he says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and it says, verse 1 to 3, it says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Savior Yeshua Messiah, and by our getting together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in the mind or be troubled, neither by the Spirit, nor by the Word, nor by the letter, as from us, as that the day of Yeshua is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Okay, so now, when the prophecy made its fulfillment, there in 2002, it says, "Now is come salvation, and the strength, and the kingdom of our Elohim, and the power of his son, Yahshua, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down." So in our case, our accuser of the brethren was the angel of the candlestick, wrote a study of Johnson. Well, that proved out. Okay. And so then he proved out to be this man of sin that had to fall away. And he ended up being a type of the son of perdition, which Judas Iscariot was a type of. Okay. And why does it say this has to be done? Because in verse 4 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says, "Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called Yahweh's kingdom, or that is worship, so that he, as Elohim, sitteth in the temple of Elohim, showing himself that he is a God." I added the indefinite article A. It's not there, but I added it because that's the only way that this will make sense and to harmonize the scripture. You have to add that one letter word, A, that he is a God. Let's read that fourth verse again. "Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called Elohim, or that is worship, so that he as Elohim sits in the temple of Elohim, showing himself that he is Elohim, that he is a Elohim." Now Satan, he can't come and show himself visibly in person, but he can have one of his servants, okay, that he has entered into, and he can set him up as his spokesman to represent him in the sacred desk of Israel by infiltrating it with good pretenses. Okay. So it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5, "Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Yahweh shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of the Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause Elohim shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth that the Elijah David brought to Gilead Center on July the 14th, 2002, and delivered unto the angel of the seventh candlestick, Brother W. Johnson, but had pleasure in the unrighteousness." Okay, now that says an awful lot, folks. Time of Greeting, Volume 2, Number 11, The Revelation. What is it? This is a subtitle for V.T. Hall's address, December the 7th, No, October the 18th, 1947. It says, to receive the revelation, the last book of the Bible, John was twice taken in the Spirit. To see this, we shall read Revelation 1:10 and 4:2. Revelation 1:10. I was in the Spirit on the Yahshua's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. This is John's first time in the Spirit, and while in it, he received revelation of chapters 1, 2, and 3, and Revelation 4, 2, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in the heaven, and one sat on the throne. This is John's second time in the Spirit, the time he received Revelation chapter 4 to 22. The first nine verses of the chapter 1 contain John's introduction unto the book and is a brief summary of what he saw. The remaining verses of the chapter 1 contain the Yahshua's introduction to the revelation, after which in chapter 2 and 3 is given a special message to be delivered unto the seven churches. This is all John saw while he was in the Spirit the first time. Now coming to the Revelation chapter 4 and 5, we read what John saw his second time in the Spirit. So John's first time in the Spirit only dealt with the seven churches, and the seventh one was the seventh they have in the church letters here. And he saw the end of the beginning and the end of those seven churches. He saw in vision. Now, coming unto the Revelation chapter 4 and 5, we read what John saw in his second time in the Spirit, Revelation 4. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in the heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in the heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that set was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald, and round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in the white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of the fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of the Elohim, and before the throne there was a sea of the glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of the eyes, before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of the eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Yahweh Elohim Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks unto him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Yahweh, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Revelation 5, And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with the seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in the heaven, nor in the earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon, and I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the line of the tribe of Judah, the root of the David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, to the Lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of the Elohim sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of the odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us unto the Elohim by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our Elohim kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing in every creature which is in the heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such are as are in the sea, and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Okay, chapters 4 and 5 we see contain a scene of the special event which caused the book to be unsealed. That which came out of the book is in the fullest sense the revelation of the Yahshua Messiah contained in all 22 chapters of the book of Revelation, of the one who only was worthy to open up the book. What book? The book of the Revelation, the whole 22 chapters, because it contains all the information in the seven books of the seven seals. Thus it is that the revelation of Yahshua Messiah begins with the sixth chapter and ends with the last chapter of the book, which is the chapter 22. The chapters in which are recorded the things which the breaking of the seven seals disclosed. Yet the revelation consists of the things which are sealed with the seven seals. Yes, it says, yes, the revelation consists of the things which are sealed with the seven seals. Okay, it is clear now that it is the revelation of Yahshua Messiah, which Elohim gave unto him, that is, unto Yahshua Messiah gave the book. Yahshua took it, broke the seals with which it was sealed, and laid open the things which no one could reveal but he, for the seven seals thereof cover all the revelation of Yahshua Messiah, which Elohim gave unto him, and consists of the things which came out of the book. The revelation, moreover, is in the seven parts, because each one of the seven of the seals disclosed a certain part of the revelation. The first seal disclosed the things recorded in chapter 6, verse 2. The second seal disclosed the things of verse 4. The third seal disclosed the things of verse 5 and 6. The fourth seal disclosed the things of verses 7 and 8. The fifth seal disclosed the things of verses 9 to 11. The sixth seal disclosed the things of verses 12 and down to the eighth chapter. For the seventh seal disclosed the things of chapters 8 to 22 inclusive. So all the way from chapter 8 to 22, only the book of the seventh seal discloses all that. That all these chapters are a continuation of the sixth chapter is seen by the fact that every chapter begins with the conjunction and. This brings the end of our study. This hour, contact us at the 11th hour call. This is number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Open my eyes that I may see. Open my eyes that I may see. Glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands a wonderful key that shall untwist and set me free. silently now I wait for thee. Ready my eyes I will to see. Open my heart, illumine me. Spirit divine, open my ears that I may hear. Voices of truth, thou send this clear. And how the wave knows fall on my hair. Everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready my eyes I will to see. Open my ears, illumine me. Spirit divine, open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready my eyes, I will to see. Open my heart, illumine me. Spirit divine.